Well, thank y'all for coming tonight. I thank the elders for letting us young folks get up here and try to do a little bit of God's work. And hopefully we can develop a few skills and be used in the future a little bit more. I appreciate everybody encouraging me as they knew I was doing this, and it's always helpful for people to encourage you and push you along to do things. Sometimes it takes a little push to get up here and do things like this and to get the strength to do it. But I appreciate everyone that's encouraged me. And I'm not a preacher, so this lesson's really just a few thoughts for us to think about, you know, to help maybe encourage our lives. For the most part, it's a lot of my thoughts is what I need to do personally. So I know that some of y'all do a lot, but this lesson's really, sometimes when you're preaching to yourself and studying and teaching, it helps you more than maybe some other people, but it's helped me a lot to realize what's important to me and what I need to be doing. That's where this lesson come from. I started out had two or three thoughts I was wanting to do a few weeks ago, and I came up with this last one, and I stuck with it because I knew the time was getting close, so this is what I got. My thoughts, they're to lift everyone up here tonight. That's what my intent is, to lift everyone up. My goal is to build us up here at Eastside, to help us to get stronger and get better, and to be a stronger congregation is what I mean. And I've attended this congregation ever since I was probably 8 or 9 years old. It's the only congregation I've ever been a part of, really. I've visited a few other churches, but a lot of you all, y'all mean so much to me here at Eastside. It's just wonderful people I've been around my whole life now, and there's been so many of you that are here and some that are passed on, and yet y'all just influenced me so much, and I care a lot about this congregation, so this is what brought this lesson on, and I just thank God for blessing me so much by surrounding me by so many wonderful Christians that I have in my life here. I've noticed, and everybody else has noticed, in the last several years, I mean, our attendance has dropped, and it's dropped in recent years, and the numbers have dropped for people moving on, and people worshiping other places, and some people just, you know, give up altogether, and then some has passed on. And I say this, that maybe I want to build us up to maybe to start trying to teach others and inviting others, you know, and try to help maybe build the congregation back up, our numbers back up. Our spirit's good, but we need more numbers. Is always good, you know, to try to save souls for God. I want us to grow at Eastside, and I want us to grow in spirit and number. So I have a few thoughts in the scriptures to build us up, and my hope and my prayer is to encourage and strengthen us here tonight, to help us start working to invite more and teaching others. I know a lot of y'all are doing a lot of that, and I'm, like I said before, I'm preaching to myself. I kind of thinking, like, you know, getting this, you know, how you feel when you first baptized. I remember when I was first baptized, I was on fire. I was wanting to tell, everybody about what, you know, I've learned and what was going through my mind, and I just want to teach everybody. And I guess you get shot down by people, and you get a little gun shy, I guess. But I guess what I want for myself is I want to get that zeal back. I want to get that fire back, maybe try to teach others that are lost, you know, that I'm around every day. And I could be the only one to teach them that. Maybe I'm the only Christian that is around them. So that's what my intent is. And like I said, it's me looking at my life. You know, I know a lot of y'all are doing a lot of work, a lot more probably than I'm doing. And this is what my aim and goal is for myself. I want to start by asking a question. Are we zealous for God? Do we have a lot of zeal in our lives? Like I said, I know I'm lacking in this area myself, and I get busy in life, and I'm trying to make ends meet. You know, I work a couple of jobs, and then I'm trying to get out and do side jobs and just trying to make ends meet. And I get so busy, and I lose a lot of track that I should be, you know, and I should be thinking more about the God's work, you know, and I'm sitting out here trying to figure out ways of making ends meet, you know, and doing, I need to be doing more for God, is my point. And like I said, I'm preaching to myself. And I know that so many of y'all are working hard and doing lots of good works, but I know I need to do more myself. And zeal, it's a fire or a passion for a cause. The dictionary says the feeling of a strong eagerness. There's three definitions, and the second one is excessive favor to do something or accomplish some end. And the third one is prompt willingness. So I got a few thoughts. It's just first thought is just I want to notice a few characteristics of zealous people, or you could say faithful people, you know, faithful to God. In Titus 2:14, it says, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So, characteristic of zealous people, one of them is eager to do good for God. And in Romans 12:11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual favor serving the Lord. So this is another characteristic. So that makes sense. If you want to be a zealous person, you don't be lacking. You're not lacking in zeal. So in zeal, I think I said zeal. Zeal. So you want to have plenty of zeal. So. And a third characteristic I come up with is in Revelations 3:15-16. It says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you were lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. So characteristic of a zealous person would not to be lukewarm. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. You know, that's not pleasing to God. So we need to be not one or the other, you know, not in between. We need to either do nothing or give it our all, I think. And it's kind of like you could think of God as thinking, I'm thinking this morning, me and Rick Carroll was talking. It was like, you know, he was talking about him being in the Army, and he had that canteen on his side, you know, that water would be really hot. You're thinking God spitting you out of your mouth, you know, being lukewarm, you know. But when you open that bottle of water at the store and that bottle of water tastes so good, I mean, you need to be, I lost thought a little bit, I'm sorry. I got off track. But you need to just be real zealous and give it your all, you know. Don't just be lukewarm. I'm trying to do some of this without reading everything. I just don't want to read everything. I'm sorry if I look a little bit unprepared, but I'm trying to do a little bit better on lesson. Okay, my next thought is our zeal. If we have zeal, it's gonna demonstrate itself. People will notice, and you'll be a good example, and people will see you out there, and they'll know you're zealous. And if we are, our actions are going to show. Each day we can look back on our actions, and we can check, and if we're zealous, and we remind ourselves that we need to be more zealous. You know, if we notice that we weren't we didn't do as much as we should or if we'd like to, we can make note of that and we can correct that. And I have some examples of some zealous brethren that we have examples in the Bible. First one's in Numbers 25, 6 through 11. I'm not going to read it, but it's about Phinehas, the son of Aaron. He slayed an Israelite man and a Midianite woman who were wicked and sinful, disrespecting Moses and the whole assembly of Israel. And at this time, God was angry with them, but when his actions, he slayed them, and it turned God's anger away from the Israelites. So that one action of him was zealous, and it showed his love for God and doing God's will. And also in Acts 28:15, it's when Paul was under guard while he was preaching in Rome. And I'll just turn to it. Acts 28:15. The brothers there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Apollos and the three taverns to meet us at the site where these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. So these brethren were zealous in going. They traveled all this way to go support their brother Paul as he was preaching God's word. Also, the next example is Moses in Hebrews 11, 24 through 27. Says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. So Moses, he refused earthly treasures, and he chose to be with the people of God, and he gave up the life of luxury, really, to be with God's people. Also, Abraham in James 2:20. James 2:20 through 24. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scriptures was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. So Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. He was zealous and was able. Of course, he didn't have to, but he was willing to do whatever he had to do God's work. My next point, our zeal, in our zeal for God, we must be grounded. We have to be grounded in our faith, our faith in God, our Creator, grounded in God's Word. And Hebrews 11:6. Says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So we have to be grounded in faith in God, and without faith in God, it's impossible to please God. So also in Romans 10:17, it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we have to hear God's word, and we have and gain faith through it, and that's how we're grounded in into our faith, which carries on to make us want to do for God, to be zealous for God. I guess that's my point. That and we need to know that God's word. We need to know God's word so we can have the knowledge and be grounded into His word and His works. And we have to have the knowledge of God's word so we won't. We will be grounded and firm, and we don't want to be like the Israelites in Romans 10:1-3. Romans 10:1-3, it says, "Brothers, my heart's desires and prayer to God for the Israelites, that is, that they may be saved, for I can testify about them, that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness." So these Israelites, they were zealous, but they didn't have the knowledge they needed. And Paul, I think, he can refer to that because he knew they were sincere, and then he knew they had emotion and enthusiasm about God, like he once did, because he knew where they were coming, because before he was obeyed the gospel, he was very zealous, but he was a persecutor of God's people and had zeal doing it, but he was doing it for the wrong reasons. So we need to be grounded in our zeal and our faith, and have knowledge, so we know where we're going to please God by doing that, and we know we're being doing right by God. My next point is that we have to feed our zeal. We want our zeal to grow. It's like our faith. It has to be fed. We have to feed ourselves spiritually, through His word, through prayer, through being with each other, getting encouragement from each other. It's like anything else. We have to feed it or it won't grow. If you have a fish, you don't want to feed it. Taylor's got a squishy fish. She's worried about when we go on vacation soon that she wants to carry him with us. So he's afraid he won't make it. But you have to feed everything we have and to make it grow. It's the same way with our spiritual selves. We have to feed it. And in 1 Peter 2:2, it says, "Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrupt." Hold on, I'm in 2 Peter. I'm pulling a mic. Okay, I was going to say, it didn't sound like nothing I'd remember reading. Okay, I'm in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So for us to grow spiritually, we got to have the word of God. It's like our milk. It helps us grow and helps us grow spiritually. Also in Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So that's how we can feed our our zeal and our spirituality is encourage one another and meet together, and like we're doing here tonight. It can build us up that way. And we need to encourage one another, and we need to gather together every chance we get. That's how we get stronger in God's Word and in faith in God. Let's see. Okay, in 2 Peter 3:18, says that, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." So we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. We have to feed. We're being fed. We grow in the knowledge, and then we grow in grace and knowledge through our Lord and Savior Jesus. Okay, our zeal must be guided. In Acts 18, 24 through 26. Acts 18, 24 through 26, it says, "Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great favor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John." So, knowledge of the Scriptures, like this man, it guides us, and therefore it guides our zeal in the direction it needs to go through the Word. Knowledge of God's Word is going to put us right to the way we need to be going and getting stronger. Also, the Holy Spirit guides us. It guides us through God's Word, the Scriptures. And it directs our zeal as well. In John 14, 26. It's the Holy Spirit's guides us in a. It says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And also in John 16, 13, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth, and He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come." So then again, God's Word is going to guide us, and the Holy Spirit guides us through God's Word. So that's one way we can make sure our zeal is being put in the right direction. Next thought is our zeal, it must be sustained. In Philippians 3:14, says that, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So we have to keep pressing on. We have to sustain in God's Word and God's work. And also in Galatians 5:7. So we are running a good race. Who cut in on you and keep you from obeying the truth? So You have to keep running a good race and don't give up on it. Don't let anything keep you from obeying the truth and sustain in your zeal and God's word and keep your faith. We can become weary and... Okay. I'm going to go to my next scripture, sorry. Galatians 6:9. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for the proper time we will reap a harvest of what we do not give up." So, to sustain, we have to keep doing good, and remember what we're gonna reap what we harvest. So we have to sustain in doing God's work and His will. So we have to keep. All this is just a lot of work that we need to keep going. I know it's like I said at the beginning. It's mostly for me. I know I get a little too busy, and I think I'm trying to get myself to take more time to do what I need to do for God and for my family, and try to slow down a little bit and try to do more work that will please God. So this is mostly for me. This lesson is mostly for what I'm thinking in my mind and what I need to do. But I know we all can do better. I know, and I just think about this congregation. I want this congregation to be here for my children and my grandchildren. I want us to get busy and work, and hopefully we can get out there and teach others and save more souls. And that's my whole thought for tonight's lesson, is that hopefully we'll get busy here and start teaching others, and hopefully we can reach out to those that we work with and with those that we come in contact. And my question to you is, Are we zealous for God? Are we doing what we need to be doing? There's always room for us to grow, like I said. And we can always work harder. And I don't think I said it in the beginning, I had it in my notes to say it, but I love this congregation. I love everybody here. And I just want to see it continue. And I want to see us grow together and only get stronger. And that was my whole point of tonight's lesson. The only other thing I have is that I know this wasn't much of a for new converts, this lesson, but if you are here tonight and you are not a Christian, you could become one tonight. You could come forward and become a Christian tonight and start to become a zealous Christian, as we talked about tonight. If you're visiting here and you have any questions, we'd be glad to study with you. Mike would, or anyone, if you had questions, we'll find answers for you or to help you in your spiritual life, your knowledge, your eagerness for God. So we can help you to become a Christian tonight. But like I said, you can also ask one of us, and we'll study with you if that's what you need. You need to learn more about God's Word individually. Also, if you have been a Christian, you haven't been doing as you should, you can make that right tonight as well. You could come forward and admit you're wrong and your sins, and start that new life with God and start working here with us and trying to teach others. The invitation's yours, and come as we sing.